TikTok, 7 o'clock. Welcome into our Wednesday edition of Sports Talk, because tomorrow's Thursday night football. Been waiting all day for Thursday night as we got the Baltimore Ravens taking on the Kansas City Chiefs that you can catch right here on WWL, your home for the NFL, home for the Saints, LSU, the Pelicans. We got it all here. Definitely looking forward to week one. We've been talking about, you know, previewing things so much, and we finally get to the game. And obviously, we've been previewing and speculating and talking everything Saints football forever now, and we'll finally get the real deal on Sunday, and starting 8 a.m. with our pregame coverage, kickoff at noon, and then postgame coverage going all the way till 6 o'clock. Ah, football season is back, and obviously Saturday night twos are back in Death Valley. LSU will be hosting Nichols in their home opener. Hopefully things can turn around for the Tigers after a rough showing in week one against USC. We were talking about the Saints and Panthers, obviously the matchup coming on in the season opener, a home opener also for the black and gold. Dennis Allen, we heard him talk about this Panthers squad, also about his defense, how his philosophy has changed going over the years, and how he would describe his own defense. Well, Dennis Allen was also asked, what's it like waiting to see this overhauled offense for this season that with everybody is just anxious to see what Clint Kubiak's got in store?
I liken it to, you know, we're sitting here on Christmas Eve and we're waiting to see what kind of presents we got under the tree, and we'll find out on Sunday. I think our offensive staff has worked extremely hard. I think they've been very demanding, very detail-oriented in what they've been asking our guys to execute. I think our guys have bought into that. I think our guys have had some really good practices, and in particular over the course of the last 3 or 4 weeks. And so I think we're all excited to see what kind of presents are under the tree.
Opening up presents, hopefully, Sunday in the Superdome. Saints hosting those Carolina Panthers. And, yeah, to lose that game, I don't even want to think about, because there's so much negativity around the team as it is, dealing with the head coach, with the quarterback. I feel like things would just implode completely with a loss to the Carolina Panthers in week one. Saints going into the game, our favorites at home, a slim favorite, albeit just a 4-point favorite over the Carolina Panthers for that week one matchup. Hopefully they can take care of business and squash any of those doubters, because I don't know. Everyone talks about the lack of weapons on the offensive side for the Saints team, and I just don't see it. I know they have maybe some questions at depth at wide receiver, but to me, you got a solid 1-2-3 punch with Chris Olave, Rashid Shaheed, and then Cedric Wilson Jr. You got Taysom Hill, obviously, that Swiss Army knife that can be used all over the field. A running back in Alvin Kamara that hopefully can have a resurgence in his game, and a lot's going to depend on, I get it, the big question mark is that offensive line. What are we going to get out of Trevor Penning this year? The rookie Taliese Fuaga moving from, you know, right tackle to left tackle, and then you still have, you know, questions at the guard spot too. I get it there, and obviously that's my biggest concern going into the year is, can you protect a quarterback? Can you establish those lanes for the run game to get going? The Saints recently just put out, I saw on the Twitter sphere, their captains for this season. You had defensive back JT Gray, also obviously special teams ace, long snapper Zach Wood, safety Tyrann Mathieu, linebacker DeMario Davis, defensive end Cam Jordan, and man, oh man, it don't get better than that. That trio of leaders you have for the Saints on that defensive side of the ball. Then on the offense, you look at Taysom Hill, his first time being a captain for this team. He's listed at tight end, but we know what doesn't Taysom do for this squad. Also, center Eric McCoy, definitely no questions about him on that offensive line. And then quarterback Derek Carr, also named one of the team captains. He caught up with the media today. It was his day to speak in the locker room. Chopped up some of that, and here's a short clip on at least of what some of Derek Carr had to say leading into week one against those Carolina Panthers.
How excited are you just to unveil this offense in a game on Sunday and kind of show what you guys have been working on?
Yeah, we're really excited as offense, but it comes out with a great challenge. You know, this is a defense that, you know, really, you know, well-coached team, skilled players, talent everywhere. And so it's a tough task. But for us as an offense, we've been working really hard. And so, of course, we're excited to go out there and play live games and put the first one out there, hopefully get a win, and then just keep building on that and, you know, hopefully play good football. So there's been a lot of work that went in to make sure that hopefully we start fast. That's key to us, trying to keep the same mindset we had towards the end of the year last year, treating all these games like do or die, from the jump, and not waiting for a back against the wall type moment to have to do that. So that's the mindset. We're excited, but again, we got to go do it, but we get to put the ball down on Sunday and finally get to play, so it'll be good.
I was going to ask, you said one of those keys, starting fast. I mean, how key is that just to get, I guess, everybody to, if you start fast, you kind of have that, I guess, that momentum or just that confidence that, hey, like this thing is actually kind of working. Is that important to get off that fast start?
Absolutely. I think it's important for everybody. We always talk about it. I think it's something that I don't think we necessarily talked about or needed to, we didn't talk about as much last year, that I think that, we were just excited. I think this year we've understood the assignment. We've understood, what it takes to start fast and the mindset and the work that it takes to be able to do that. And so, I think that would build confidence, not only for us, on the offense, but for the team and for the city, for the organization. One thing I do know is we're going to keep working at it, whether it's really good or, somewhere in between. We know that it can work, and we're going to keep grinding at it. But we're excited, to finally just get out there and run our stuff.
Derek, I think D.A. kind of compared the season opener to like Christmas Eve. You're ready to unwrap the gift. What kind of gift do you think you guys are going to be presenting?
I know one thing is we're going to play extremely hard and play extremely fast on offense. Our defense looks fantastic. I told you all what I thought of them last year. Coming here and practicing against them, and I think they're better this year. Now we all have to go prove it, but they look amazing. They look ready to go, and there's just a mindset and a mentality that we're coming with right now that I recognized from late in the year last year. Now, does that guarantee us a win? No, nothing guarantees you a win except putting the work in and doing it on Sunday. But for us, we're excited to go show our brand of football and show what potentially we can be this year.
Derek, how have you seen the chemistry of the offensive line kind of develop over the last few months here?
I think the best thing that has happened for them is they've had a lot of reps together. They all have been at practice. They've all had reps together in preseason and practice. Obviously, thousands of reps in practice, walkthrough reps. They're everywhere, in the building together. They eat together, they walk together, they walk in the meetings together. It's just, I'm just really, really proud of the leadership by Eric and Caesar, and those guys in that room, taking that to heart and really, really taking that challenge. And so you see it pay off, on the practice field. Now games, that's when you go prove it, for me, I'm excited and I'm confident in those guys and what they've done. And so I can't wait to see how they play.
Derek, how comfortable are you? Because, three different systems in three consecutive years.
Yeah.
And even though the terminology might be similar or, aspects might be similar, but how comfortable are you?
I feel more comfortable starting this time than I did any other time because I was able through a lot of experience, how do I get ready faster? How do I feel more comfortable faster? One big part of that was reps with my guys. I had a whole year of that under my belt, and so that helps. When you're throwing similar routes, it's not brand new. It doesn't take way too long to figure some things out. Now, there were some new things that there's some things and some routes that we were asked to throw and things like that that I haven't done before. So I had to get better at it. We had to get better at that. But for the most part, there was a lot of carryover there. And then I told y'all, every practice we had, I would go out before and run the practice myself, with JT and Corey. And, we would run the practice. And so I would double up on the reps because it was really I can sit there and study. I can sit there and watch film all day long until I'm blue in the face. But you got to go do it. You got to put your body through the motions. You got to do the footwork. You got to see the routes. You got to see the reads. And that's something that we did. Now I'm going to get, obviously, all these game reps coming up, the season starting and all that, and we're just going to keep getting better at it. But I feel like I'm really comfortable with where we're at going into the season. And I shouldn't say comfortable. I should say confident. I'm confident with where we're at. But now we just got to go do it.
Comfortable and confident. Quarterback Derek Carr. Definitely someone that, man, you talk to Saints fans, and it just seems to be someone that just drives them up a wall, and I don't get it. You look at his numbers, completed 68.4% of his passes last year, 3,878 yards passing, had 25 touchdowns versus 8 interceptions, finished with a quarterback rating 97.7 in the NFL. Like I said, overall, was it a spectacular season? No, but, to think that, this team can't grow and mature even more with a new offense and Clint Kubiak, to me, a new offensive scheme in place. We've heard them, talk about how much simpler the verbiage is for them to use, a lot more at ease going into year two for even Derek Carr being in New Orleans. My outlook is at least positive. I don't want to start the season, thinking the worst right off the bat when this team gave you every reason to believe and hope the way they ended the year. And going into this season, sure, I've mentioned it before, the question marks for me on that offense are really just the offensive line. Can they protect Derek Carr? I don't think that any quarterback you want to put in, Jay Kaner, Spencer Rattler, whoever's in there, could be running for their lives, and not really any of them is a tuck and run kind of guy. Sure, Kaner and Rattler may have more mobility than Carr, but Carr's not a statue back out there either. His biggest knock for me, and I know fans will get on his case too, tends to hold on to the ball a little bit. Got to work on that. Hopefully, though, in this Kubiak system, it'll be about making the read, getting rid of the ball quickly, and hopefully getting it to guys in space where they can make a play. Get more of a feel of this team right now. Somebody who is in the locker room today and at practice, Jeff Nowak, Saints sideline reporter. See what he has to say when we turn from the break right here on WWL. Talk to you then. We're back here on Sports Talk. Been talking a lot of Saints football as they get ready for that season opener Sunday in the Superdome. I know who'll be joining me bright and early in the bowels as we get ready for pregame coverage. First Take, crank it up, 8 a.m. Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak. How you been, Jeff?
I'm doing good. Got the alarm set. I'm ready.
Already?
We're not going to walk. Well, we could tell people that we forgot where we were supposed to go last week, so we ended up walking about a half mile around the field before we were like, wait a second, we just walked from end zone to end zone and didn't find where we were supposed to be. So hopefully we get there a little quicker this time.
That, and hopefully we can get coffee a lot quicker than we did, too.
True, yes.
I want to get into real quick, Jeff, before we dive into more stuff. Someone on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talking text line, 504-260-1870 for all you folks out there, chimed in. I just played some audio from Derek Carr, and they said, why don't you discuss his playoff record? Well, he's 0-1. He went once, lost with the Las Vegas Raiders. That was a wild card game against the Bengals. And the poor guy had to throw 54 times in the game. And no, the Raiders didn't win. So he's been once, lost once. I really don't hold that against him. We've talked about that a ton, and nobody wants to hear it, that the previous team he was with, they never really had a defense. Now he's on a team that obviously stacked on that side of the ball. And we just got to worry about, can the offense get it done? And he's a guy obviously leading the way. But man, oh man, for me, and I think you would agree too, the biggest question for this offense isn't Derek Carr, it's the offensive line, obviously.
Yeah, and it's funny, the playoff conversation, you also have to mention that probably his best season, the season that he was a legitimate candidate to be the MVP of the entire league, ended up breaking his leg late in the year. I think the Raiders went 13-3 or 12-4 that year. I can't recall off the top of my head. They had to start a backup in the playoffs and lost. So that's tough to kind of weigh in the scope of like, well, it should be considered a playoff season. He just wasn't able to go.
Right.
And I actually was talking to him a bit about the playoff game a couple of years ago. And that was, because we were talking about Drew Brees, and that was the game, that was the playoff game that Drew Brees called. And I mentioned it. Yeah, that was the inadvertent whistle game, if you recall. That was Joe Burrow and the Bengals. They won that game. They went to the Super Bowl. There was an inadvertent whistle on a touchdown throw, and it kind of threw everything into chaos. And Derek was basically like, yeah, please don't remind me about that play because I still think about it sometimes. There's going to be a lot of things we watch in week one. We talked to Cam Jordan today. We talked to DA. We talked to Derek. And one thing that, all of them were pretty consistent on is week one is really kind of a crapshoot of what you are going to get, what you're going to expect, and so it's almost difficult to really pull too much out of week one, but I know everyone's going to overreact to it. If the offense doesn't look good, if there are struggle points, if it seems like, hey, this isn't the offense that we were promised, it's going to get loud. It's going to get loud fast. But the nice thing for the Saints is they at least understand the defense they're going to be going against. It's the same Hero Evero scheme that they faced twice last year. It's a good scheme. It's one that gave them trouble last year, but that at least hasn't changed. Where you're going to have some questions is going to be on the offensive side for the Panthers. Dave Canales is their new head coach. It's a Dave Canales offense, so they've spent a lot of time watching the Bucs from last year. He was their offense coordinator last year, so those offenses should kind of carry over. Bryce Young, you faced last year twice, so you have some tape on him in terms of what he likes to do, but not in terms of how the rules of this offense are going to change for him. I'm not really sure I'm answering your question all that well, but, you know, we're going to get a lot of those questions answered this week, but at the same time, we're going to create a whole new set of questions, whether it's on the offensive line, whether it's how the offense is going to operate in general, whether this defense is going to live up to expectations and get pressure on the quarterback, take down Bryce Young, a guy who was sacked, I want to say the most in the NFL last year, something like 60 times. So I don't know. One thing that we can all say is we're excited to watch a football game on Sunday, and the Saints are excited to play in a football game on Sunday. So that's where we are.
You mentioned, obviously, talking to some of the guys in the locker room. I guess what would you say is the general feeling around with the players right now? I'm sure there's still, you know, that excitement, obviously, for a regular season opener at home. But are you sensing that confident bunch in the black and gold locker room?
Yeah, I mean, I think this team, you know, I think the word confident is something that I don't think a lot of people necessarily believe right now. I don't think you go around the NFL and you find a lot of people who are confident that this Saints team is going to do anything of significance this season.
Oh, for sure.
But that's a different story when you ask the players. And this is a team that believes, hey, we have talent here. We know we have talent here. We have good veteran leadership. We have young players who are developing and coming into their own. So why not us? And, you know, it seems like every year there's a team that kind of defies the logic of the NFL because everyone kind of convinced themselves something was true that might not have been true, which is that a team with a top 10 defense, a veteran quarterback who doesn't turn the ball over, you know, a solid cast of skilled players can't compete in the NFL. And that's just not true. A lot of it comes down to A, luck, and B, consistency and playing well in the moments that win you games. And I think that's where this team feels like it can be a lot better than it was last year. I think Derek kind of phrased it as, you know, last year everyone was really excited to get into the system, and Derek was really excited to get into the offense. And there were issues at play that maybe weren't addressed early on in the season that they had to iron out, and that's why you didn't necessarily see the full form of the offense until maybe later in the year. They feel like they put in the work. They feel like it's all going to start to pay off this week. I know Cam's excited because he's not banged up anymore. He's healthy now.
Right.
You know, he didn't exactly hide it, but he was dealing with some significant injuries late in last year that really limited him. He had surgery in the offseason. He dropped a little bit of weight. I think he's put some of that weight back on over the last couple months or so as he's like gearing up to shift inside and play defensive tackle a little bit. But, you know, I think all these guys are just excited to kind of put what they have on the table. And Dennis Allen framed it as, hey, it's like, you know, waking up on Christmas morning and seeing what presents there are under the tree as it pertains to this new offense. And I'm excited to see what it looks like. I don't know if we've seen it fully yet and definitely haven't seen it in the preseason. So it's going to be interesting to watch.
Yeah, and going to Cam Jordan, who you mentioned, obviously it was a disappointment all around for him. Didn't have those numbers we're used to seeing from Cam. And we've talked about it before. Fans were disappointed, but there's nobody more disappointed in what happened more than Cam Jordan. I know he's got to feel that mortality, you know, with age creeping up on him. But I definitely believe that he thinks he's got at least another season or two left in him to be that stellar guy on the offensive line. You mentioned, obviously, losing some weight and maybe putting it back on after finding out, hey, you're going to be playing a lot inside more. I know he joked about it. I think when you guys were in California, he's like, looks like I picked the wrong time to lose weight if I'm going to have to be playing in the middle. So just expectations for Cam this season. I know a lot of folks think he's ready to hang him up and be a coach in the NFL. I just don't view it that way, even though obviously the numbers were down a year ago. I just can't believe that we've seen this massive drop in Cam. Obviously dealing with the injuries was a huge hindrance last season.
Yeah, and I mean, he's talked extensively about that and then what that all was. And I think he told us at one point that he sprained his ankle. Then that was against Atlanta last year. And we saw him leave the game in the fourth quarter and not return. And then he came back a couple weeks later and sprained the same ankle again. He was like, I didn't even know you could do that, but he did. And the amazing thing is he didn't miss a game, right? Like he played in all 17 games. And I think that tells you a lot about Cam and what he's willing to, what he's willing to fight through. I know he had a shoulder issue that he was dealing with late in the year too, but no, Cam believes he still has Cam Jordan left in him. But you know, we've talked to him a good bit, and he'll be the first to tell you that, like, hey, I am on the backside of my career, and I know that. Like, this, I don't know how many years I have left, but you know, you could probably count them on one hand, right? That's me saying that. But that doesn't mean there isn't a productive player in there. I do think that there has been this a little bit of humbling that has had to occur with his role in right. terms of, hey, we are going to shift you inside on these NASCAR snaps, and you're going to have to do that. And I can't be the first to tell you he's not a huge fan of it. He doesn't like to do it, but you know, he appreciates what the quality of that group can be if you have him on the inside and you have Carl Granderson and Chase Young on the outside. So it's tough to guess exactly what his stats will be. I don't know what a productive season for Cam will be in terms of what would a successful season be. I want to see him on the field on rundowns. I think he's still an elite run-stopping defensive end, and that's never going to change. It's just something he's always been elite at, and he's just a lot of that is effort. A lot of that is the willingness to do it. It's kind of like a wide receiver blocking. So much of it is just being willing to chase down a guy who's on the opposite end of the field, even though you're probably not going to get there, but he might cut back. So you want to be there to take him out if he does. And some people are willing to do that. Some people aren't. And Cam's always been that effort energy guy. I'd like to see him get to double digit sacks again. I think that would be fantastic. I would be happy with 5-6 sacks, 50 tackles, and you just become a good run defense team. The funny thing is, Cam takes a lot of pride in stopping the run, and the better the Saints are at stopping the run on early downs, the more likely he's going to end up at defensive tackle on passing downs. So that's kind of a weird catch-22 there, but I think he's going to have a big role in that, right? Like, he's going to be a big part of, if you're able to stand up against the run on early downs and get your pass rush group on the field, it's going to be because of a lot of what he's doing. So I think he's excited to kind of show people that last year wasn't just a sign that it's the end, and it was more of a product of circumstance. He'll be the first to tell you, like, he genuinely believes that this team can do something special this season. And it doesn't really matter what anyone outside the building is saying. As long as the people inside the building believe it, they're going to play it out until it's not true. So I think Cam's an important guy to have in that locker room, independent of the stats or whatever you want to look at. As a leader of that group, he's a very valuable piece of this team.
Looking at the injury report, Jeff, the initial one came out today, and nothing really too significant that should have any fans worried going into game one. Obviously, you're going to have to monitor things where, you know, you had limited practice from a Nick Saldiveri, Marshawn Lattimore, and Willie Gay. You don't want their issues to get any worse. Pete Werner listed as a full go dealing with a shoulder injury. Hopefully, also, that's something that doesn't end up coming to, you know, worsen over the, you know, next coming days. And the guys that didn't practice, and a Jalen Ford, Dallin Holker, DeMarco Jackson, Colin Saunders, not something that's going to be such a detriment to this team if they end up missing out.
Yeah, no, I mean, you don't want to be without those guys, but it isn't a surprise. Like, you kind of went into this week feeling like, okay, these guys have been out of practice for a while. Even if they got back, they'd probably be limited. So I think you're kind of going into the rest of this week expecting those four guys to be DMPs. And like you mentioned, Jalen Ford, DeMarco Jackson, Colin Saunders, Dallin Holker. I'm interested to see whether Nick Saldiveri is active for the game, or if you right. maybe elevate a Kyle Hurgle or Shane Lemieux or somebody off the practice squad, because I'm just not sure if he's ready to go yet. I am really curious to see when he is a full go, whether you start to take a look at him as your starting left guard. You know, there's a reason that they went into camp with him as that guy. And, well, I think you're definitely going to see Lucas Patrick this week, and then you're going to kind of grade that performance and go from there. I like Nick Saldiveri. I think he was showing pretty well before the injury, so we'll have to see. Willie Gay was a guy that I was interested to see what his injury actually was. He was absent on Monday. DA was like, hey, well, you'll find out on Wednesday. Well, it turns out it was a back issue. He was limited today. Sounds like he's trending in the right direction. And I think that'll be – I'd like to see him out there in week one. It would be kind of a bummer if we spent this entire training camp hyping up Willie Gay and telling people you should be excited about what Willie Gay can bring to this linebacker group and the athleticism he can bring to this defense, and he didn't end up being out there. So we'll have to see. But Yeah, I think the Saints, realistically speaking, you look at, you know, around the league and what some teams are dealing with in terms of injuries, knock on wood, but the Saints have gotten to this point reasonably healthy. Like, we haven't been talking about ACL tears left and right. You've obviously had a good bit of soft tissue stuff, but those guys are working their way back now. Marshawn Lattimore seems like he's on track to play. Khalid McKinstry is back. He wasn't even listed on the injury report, so that's a good sign. Neither was Mason Tifton, a guy who missed a lot of camp. So I think the Saints are in actually a really good position from a health perspective going into the start of the regular season.
Jeff saw recently on Twitter that Juwan Johnson actually reworked his deal to help save the team some money. What is it? Creating $3.5 million in space for them with the cap. Could this team be looking to add a player, or is it maybe to give someone a contract extension?
It's tough to say. I think generally speaking, at this time of the offseason, when you're reworking deals, you're doing it for a reason. I don't think you would just be changing around dollars and cents just for the sheer enjoyment of doing it. So we'll have to see. It could be an extension. You know, like Paulson Adebo, someone that I think, you know, you look at some of the scenarios that have come out in terms of, you know, holdouts and contracts and the big numbers that are being thrown around. You know, Pat Surtain got a new deal this week. So I wouldn't be surprised if maybe that's what you're looking at is an extension that you're trying to get done before the year. But either way, you know, they have money. If they wanted to go out and make a move, they have room under the cap. They could do it. That said, I also wouldn't hate to see them kind of play a little close to the vest and go into next season and retain a little bit of that flexibility. Just because we don't know, there's so much about this season that could go one way or the other. I don't think you want to over-leverage yourself in certain ways. We saw that with Justin Simmons. I think a big part of the reason he's not here is the Saints didn't really want to get into a bidding war for a veteran player that, you know, they weren't sure is definitely going to be an upgrade. So we'll see. But that's definitely is interesting that they would do that.
Yeah, it just stood out to me, too. I figured, too, it's like you're not making this kind of movement with some money unless there was something that you had planned. That was definitely my train of thought there as well. Wondering for you, like, going into this game now, is there a player that you're really looking forward to finally getting to see in a regular season action, whether it's the offense, defense, even special teams, that you just think could be a big difference maker for this team and are just anxious to see what they're able to put out there? I know a lot of fans obviously have Chase Young circled because of all the hype around him and that pass rush that he's able to bring. But just curious from your standpoint, is there that player, that guy that you think could really be a difference maker on the field that you can't wait to watch?
Well, I'll give you one on both sides of the ball since you took my answer on defense. And I don't think there's – I mean, obviously it's Chase Young. Like, I don't think any Saints fan walking into that building shouldn't be excited to see what Chase Young can bring. And, you know, it's funny because you look at Jadeveon Clowney on the other side. I actually would compare those two guys in terms of both number one overall pick, number two overall picks. And when you look at them, you don't even have to see them play. You just look at them and you're like, okay, I get it. I understand why you were a top pick in the NFL draft, because they're just these hulking, you know, and I don't use that word lightly. They are hulking figures at defensive end. Like, their bodies just don't make sense. And the things they can do on the field are reflective of that. Now, I do think that the motivation has always been a question, I think, for Jadeveon Clowney. And I'm really eager to see what Chase Young can do and will do in a year where all the motivation in the world exists for him to go out and earn a new contract. You don't usually get these top draft picks in a kind of a prove-it scenario. The Saints were smart to really take advantage of that, and we're going to see. I have high expectations for him, and hopefully it starts this week. Now, on the offensive side of the ball, it's very, you know, it's not that different of a group. Like, that's one thing that Derek Carr talked about today was, like, it's a new offense, but he feels like he has a leg up in terms of picking up this new offense because most of the guys you're throwing to are the same guys. Like, there's a comfort level that exists with guys you've played with that make picking up the offense at the same time with everybody else feel a lot easier. And I think that's something they're banking on in terms of why this season should start a little faster than last year. And, you know, the guy we haven't really seen a ton of throughout camp is the one I am excited to see, and it's Rashid Shaheed. And that's true in both kick return. I'm interested to see what he can do in that new kick return format that we really have kind of only seen glimpses of in terms of the actual strategy that teams are going to throw at it. But also, just I think this offense is going to be really focused on getting fast guys the ball in space and letting them run. And I can't think of a guy that I'd be much more excited to see get those opportunities funneled his way than Rasheed, who, you know, I think he's really undervalued across the NFL in terms of a wide receiver too, mainly because he's a former UDFA. I don't think people know exactly what to expect from him with more volume in terms of, we know he's this elite deep threat. We know he's this efficiency monster when he can get the ball downfield. But what if you can get him the ball closer to the line of scrimmage and let him make people miserable trying to chase him around? I'm not just excited about what he can do. I'm excited to see more so how they use him in this offense, because I think it's going to look a lot different than what we saw from him last year.
One thing I know you can't be excited about, Jeff, have you gotten on Commissioner Jordan yet about you picking last in our draft that's coming up at 8:30?
Oh, that snake pick. I hate it. I always think like, oh, I know one person I want to pick, and then I have to pick again.
And then you're waiting forever.
Yeah. I think it's just going to be first round Taysom Hill, second round Blake Groupie. That's going
to
be it.
And we're in a 2QB league, so I mean, I feel like you have to go quarterback early in this, or you're going to be SOL.
That's Taysom Hill, man. Come on.
He does it all.
He does everything. No, I'll figure it out. I've gotten way worse at fantasy football over the last 2 years. I need people to understand that. So don't take my fantasy advice ever. But I think my team's called rebuild year still, and I think that's gonna be true again.
How fitting. Yes, Jeff. Definitely. Thanks for the time. And yeah, I'll be seeing you soon in the draft room, my man.
Sounds good.
Jeff Nowak, Saints sideline reporter, also WWL digital content producer. Check out his work there at WWL.com. I know he's got up the initial injury report for week one. Willie Gay returns to practice. Big stuff for the black and gold. We're back here on Sports Talk. Well, my kiddos' game today, ninth graders at Rummel, canceled due to the weather. But high school football fans, get ready for week one of Friday Night Lights on WWL. You can join Ian Ozan, Alan Waddell, and Coach Lou Valden Friday nights at 7 p.m. This week, they'll be live from Destrehan at a huge matchup between the Destrehan Fighting Wildcats versus the Catholic Bears. We'll also bring you live updates from the epic battle between Edna Carr and Archbishop Shaw, Jesuit and Jesuit College Prep from Dallas, and St. Charles Catholic and Isidore Newman. Also, they'll have Sugar Bowl CEO Jeff Hundley dropping by to chat with the crew. Don't miss the most comprehensive high school football show in America, the All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup. That's Fridays 7 to 10:30 p.m. right here on WWL and the free Odyssey app. Gonna head back out to break and close things out when we return right here on WWL. Back into Sports Talk as we wane down in the final minutes here, getting ready for myself for an 8:30 fantasy football draft, last one before the season starts. We're less than 24 hours away now from Thursday Night Football between the Baltimore Ravens and Kansas City Chiefs. That's right here on, obviously, WWL and the free Odyssey app. And Colin, wanted to ask you real quick, you a tennis fan at all?
My dad is. I'm not okay. Really.
U.S. Open, big upset. We just saw sixth-ranked Jessica Pegula has defeated number one-ranked Iga Swiatek over at the U.S. Open. So she advances. Congratulations to her. And Jessica Pegula, not bad. Family owns the Buffalo Bills, so she
really
she does quite well.
They are winning then.
Yes, exactly.
What was she ranked against? Six?
Number six and defeated number one.
Is six? Keep me informed. Yeah. Here is six over one as big of an upset as it seems to be? It doesn't seem like I hear of like the 20 beating the number two and stuff like that.
No, it's pretty big. Obviously, no one was considering that Swiatek would end
wasn't
up losing in this matchup.
Okay,
no, they thought that she would definitely advance, especially with the field being so wide open. And then over on the men's side, we've got the matchup coming up this evening shortly. That is between number one, Jannik Sinner, and then number five, Daniil Medvedev. So we'll see if he inspires some of that upset juice and can get that going and take down number one. Do you have any more fantasy football drafts going on, or are you finished for the year?
I'm stuck with my rookie rookie draft we did back in May. You know, this Dynasty League, it's taken a lot out of me. It really is.
You have just a one quarterback league or two QB league?
One quarterback, one super flex. So
everybody
you
mentioned that.
Everybody just plays a QB anyway.
Right,
no
exactly.
Defense, that's the weird part. No defense, no kickers. It is literally just offense.
I got the fourth overall pick in tonight's 8:30 draft, folks. I'll let you know how it turns out tomorrow on the show. Be back with you to talking more LSU, Saints, and also Tulane football. The voice of the Tulane Green Wave, Corey Glore, will join us on Sports Talk tomorrow. Have a great night, everybody. Who dat? Ninth graders at Rummel canceled due to the weather, but high school football fans, get ready for week one of Friday Night Lights on WWL. You can join Ian Ozan, Alan Waddell, and Coach Lou Valden Friday nights at 7 p.m. This week, they'll be live from Destrehan at a huge matchup between the Destrehan Fighting Wildcats versus the Catholic Bears. We'll also bring you live updates from the epic battle between Edna Carr and Archbishop Shaw, Jesuit and Jesuit College Prep from Dallas, and St. Charles Catholic and Isidore Newman. Also, they'll have Sugar Bowl CEO Jeff Hunley dropping by to chat with the crew. Don't miss the most comprehensive high school football show in America, the All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup. That's Fridays 7 to 10:30 p.m. right here on WWL and the free Odyssey app. Gonna head back out to break and close things out when we return right here on WWL. Back into sports talk as we wane down in the final minutes here, getting ready for myself for an 8:30 fantasy football draft, last one before the season starts. We're less than 24 hours away now from Thursday night football between the Baltimore Ravens and Kansas City Chiefs. That's right here on, obviously, WWL and the free Odyssey app. And Colin, wanted to ask you real quick, you a tennis fan at all?
Tennis? My dad is. I'm not really.
U.S. Open, big upset. We just saw sixth-ranked Jessica Pegula has defeated number one-ranked Iga Swiatek over at the U.S. Open. So she advances. Congratulations to her. And Jessica Pegula, not bad. Family owns the Buffalo Bills, so she
really
she does quite well.
They are winning then.
Yes, exactly.
What was she ranked against? Six?
Number six and defeated number one.
Is six? Keep me informed. Yes, yeah. Here is 6-1 as big of an upset as it seems to be? It doesn't seem like I hear of like the 20 beating the number two and stuff like that.
No, it's pretty big. Obviously, no one was considering that that Swiatek would end up losing in this matchup.
Okay,
no, they thought that she would definitely advance, especially with the field being so wide open. And then over on the men's side, we've got the matchup coming up this evening shortly. That is between number one, Jannik Sinner, and then number five, Daniil Medvedev. So we'll see if he inspires some of that upset juice and can get that going and take down number one. Do you have any more fantasy football drafts going on, or are you finished for the year?
I'm stuck with my rookie rookie draft we did back in May. You know, this Dynasty League, it's taken a lot out of me. It really is.
You have just a one quarterback league or two QB league?
One quarterback, one super flex.
So right. You mentioned that.
Everybody just plays a QB anyway.
Right.
No
exactly.
Defense. That's the weird part. No defense, no kickers. It is literally just offense.
I got the fourth overall pick in tonight's 8:30 draft, folks. I'll let you know how it turns out tomorrow on the show. Be back with you talking more LSU, Saints, and also Tulane football. The voice of the Tulane Green Wave, Corey Glore, will join us on Sports Talk tomorrow. Have a great night, everybody. Who dat? Getting ready for myself for an 8:30 fantasy football draft, last one before the season starts. We're less than 24 hours away now from Thursday night football between the Baltimore Ravens and Kansas City Chiefs. That's right here on, obviously, WWL and the free Odyssey app. And Colin, wanted to ask you real quick, you a tennis fan at all?
My dad is. I'm not really.
U.S. Open, big upset. We just saw sixth-ranked Jessica Pegula has defeated number one-ranked Iga Swiatek over at the U.S. Open. So she advances. Congratulations to her. And Jessica Pegula, not bad. Family owns the Buffalo Bills. So she
really?
She does quite well.
They are winning then.
Yes, exactly.
What was she ranked against? Six?
Number six and defeated number one.
Is six? Keep me informed. Yeah. Here. Is 6-1 as big of an upset as it seems to be? It doesn't seem like I hear of like the 20 beating the number two and stuff like that.
No, it's pretty big. Obviously, no one was considering that that Swiatek would end
wasn't
up losing in this matchup.
Okay.
No, they thought that she would definitely advance, especially with the field being so wide open. And then over on the men's side, we've got the matchup coming up this evening shortly. That is between number one, Jannik Sinner, and then number five, Daniil Medvedev. So we'll see if he inspires some of that upset juice and can get that going and take down number one. Do you have any more fantasy football drafts going on, or are you finished for the year?
I'm stuck with my rookie rookie draft we did back in May. You know, this Dynasty League, it's taken a lot out of me. It really is.
You have just a one quarterback league or two QB league?
One quarterback, one super flex. So
that's
just,
right. You mentioned that.
Everybody just plays a QB anyway.
Right.
No
exactly.
Defense. That's the weird part. No defense, no kickers. It is literally just offense.
I got the fourth overall pick in tonight's 8:30 draft, folks. I'll let you know how it turns out tomorrow on the show. Be back with you talking more LSU, Saints, and also Tulane football. The voice of the Tulane Green Wave, Corey Glore, will join us on Sports Talk tomorrow. Have a great night, everybody. Who dat?